tuning in, logging into tonight's show or today's show, whenever you're listening at night or listening during the day, whatever you're listening, thank you for joining us. I think you're going to, if you've liked our past shows, I think you're going to find this show very, very interesting, because tonight we're going to be talking about the California Cannabis Coalition's upcoming State of Cannabis 2019 Legislative Update and Business to Business Expo in Los Angeles. This is a very exciting event that's coming up on April 13th. We're going to talk all about it and learn. You can learn about how you can attend. And we're going to be talking about with the organizers and producers, Luis Rivera and Adriana Gomez. Luis is the founder and CEO of the Collective Strategies, which is a group that's committed to promoting fairness, justice, opportunity, and equity in the design and implementation of cannabis-related public policy enforcement and in economic and workforce opportunities. Hey, that's quite an undertaking. It sure is. He's a licensed cannabis event organizer and has promoted the responsible advancements of the. I always love this about cannabis. You always have to put the word responsible in there because there's so much irresponsibility, right? Of cannabis, but whatever. Responsible advancement of the legal cannabis economy and marketplace by working with the industry, small business, and local municipalities. And by doing it, by doing these expos like we're going to be talking about. With them is his partner, Adriana Gomez. She is a Gates Millennial Scholarship recipient. Now, when we get her on, I'm going to ask her what that is. But Gates must happen to do with Bill Gates, I would guess. We're going to find out what that is because I'm wondering what a Gates Millennial Scholarship recipient means. She's graduated from UCLA with a political science bachelor's degree, and she is a proud mother. I would hope most mothers are proud, and an advocate for minorities and women in the cannabis industry. One of the things that she is the co-founder of Social Equity LA, which is an online and in-person platform that provides free, accurate, and timely information on legislation, enforcement efforts, and the economic and workforce opportunities in the cannabis industry for individuals that qualify for the social equity programs in Los Angeles and throughout California. And these programs are really important. You know, these social equity programs are designed to get the minorities into the community, into the business. We don't want to see this a white male dominated industry, which is what the movement has been. And we need to make sure that a lot of these people, especially the communities of color, who have been so much the brunt of the marijuana law enforcement and the police and so on, that they are able to participate in this industry and be part of it. So stick around. We'll be getting to the interview with them in just about 10 minutes. But as usual, the first part of the show, you get to hear from me, my latest little, I don't want to say diatribe because that makes it sound like it's some kind of angry thing. It's not. But my thoughts on one of the some of the issues of the day. And you know, as America recovers from 80 years of reefer madness, that's what we're doing. We're recovering from 80 years of reefer madness as we move forward into the legal world of cannabis. And not only is America recovering from 80 years of reefer madness, the entire world is recovering. You know, Americans, according to most pundits, are as divided and polarized as they have ever been, going all the way back to the times of the Civil War. One of the very few issues that is enjoying bipartisan support across the political and cultural spectrum is the end of marijuana prohibition and the beginnings of various state-sanctioned legalization programs. Polls universally show the majority of Americans support marijuana legalization. A June 2018 poll conducted by GBA Strategies for the Center for American Progress found 68% of voters support marijuana legalization. This support cuts across party lines with 77% of Democrats, 57% of Republicans, and 62% of independents supporting marijuana legalization. Now, this is not just medical marijuana. That's always been supported. This is the actual legalization of marijuana. Support for legalization also cuts across racial lines, with 72% of African Americans, 69% of whites, and 64% of Latinos in favor. There used to be a major gender gap with women opposing legalization, but now the sexes see marijuana almost identically, with 69% of women and 66% of men supporting legalization of cannabis. I think that's interesting. There's actually more women now supporting it than men, which of course makes sense because cannabis is tailor-made for women, especially for some of the health problems they have. With Michigan leading the recreational sales of marijuana in 2018, nearly 80 million Americans, that's 25% of the total U.S. population, live in a state or jurisdiction that has legal recreational marijuana. What began with California's passage of Proposition 215, legalizing the medical use of marijuana, has morphed into a nationwide push for ending marijuana prohibition that appears unstoppable. The genie is definitely out of the bottle. As America recovers from eight decades of reefer madness, it should be expected that there will be bumps in the road as states implement their own legalization programs with varying degrees of success. The predictions by marijuana opponents of rampant crime, addicted children, carnage on the highways, and the end of civilization have not materialized. With over $8 billion in sales in 2018, which are expected to reach over $23 billion in just 4 years, marijuana businesses are springing up like flowers in spring. Overcoming the Byzantine regulations and licensing systems created by nervous Nelly legislators and government agencies, these newly enfranchised businesses are a remarkably diverse lot, notably giving the lie to the predictions of the, quote, nattery nabobs of negativism, quote, end quote, who claim that legalization will lead to the takeover of the marijuana trade by Monsanto and Marlboro. It hasn't happened. And, folks, it's not going to. With the Democrats taking control of the House of Representatives, there is a real possibility that federal marijuana prohibition may come to an end in 2019. As proof of their commitment to allowing states to move forward with legalization programs, the Democratic staff of the Congressional Joint Economic Committee published the National Cannabis Economy, which highlighted, quote, the economic benefits of legalized cannabis at the state and national levels, end quote. This is an official Democratic Party publication in favor of legalization. Since it was the United States that spread reefer madness throughout the world, it is incumbent upon the United States to spread reefer sanity. Fortunately, other countries are not waiting for the United States to start the process before they legalize cannabis. Canada legalized cannabis sales throughout the country in July 2018, and Mexico, whose Supreme Court already declared that it is unconstitutional to prohibit the use, possession, and cultivation of marijuana by individuals, has a new president who is committed to not just legalizing marijuana, but upending America's war on drugs. Thank you, Mr. Obrador. It's not just Western industrialized nations that are changing their attitudes on marijuana. In the African continent, Lesotho and Zimbabwe have legalized marijuana for medical use, and the South African Supreme Court unanimously legalized the private use of cannabis, ruling that it was, quote, unconstitutional and therefore invalid to criminalize the drug, end quote. Most significantly, as reported by Newsweek magazine, a number of Asian nations with some of the most severe and repressive laws, quote, have taken note of cannabis legalization movements in North America and other countries, with several moving to chart a similar path, end quote. Citing progress in Asian countries as diverse as Thailand, Malaysia, and South Korea, the magazine noted that India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bhutan, also becoming interested in looking at medical cannabis, in part because they see how much money the rest of the world's companies and countries are getting out of it, end quote. How much money they are getting out of it. No matter how much we might wish it was otherwise, the bottom line of marijuana legalization, like just about everything else, is that it's all about money. We may have very well freed the weed, but weed still has its price. Okay, I hope that has given you a little stimulation for thought. If you like what I said there or read there, you know, I do have a blog that I put out about a lot of different marijuana issues. And if you'd like to get the blog, you can go to it on the internet anytime by going to marijuananews.org/blog, B-L-O-G, or you can subscribe to it, and you'll, whenever I send one out two or three times a month, you'll get it right hot off the internet. Can't say it hot off the press. It's not printed. Hot off the internet. And you can do that by just going to Marijuana News. That's one word, marijuananews.org. And at the masthead, it's going to say newsletter. Click on that and subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll get it. One more thing to flood your overflowing email box. I'm sure everybody's oh my gosh. Every morning I sometimes kind of dread opening up. There's so much stuff there. But listen, you'll like this. And if you turn out, you think you don't like what I'm writing, all you have to do is scroll down to the bottom, just an unsubscribe button, click on that, and you will be unsubscribed, and my newsletter will no longer darken your email box. Okay, well, now I think it's time that we're going to bring our guest into the studio, and our guests are Luis Rivera and Adriana Gomez from the, Collective Strategies, who are putting on this wonderful exhibit, this expo in Los Angeles on April 13th. Luis, Adriana, welcome to Marijuana, Compassion, and Common Sense.
Thank you, Lanny.
A pleasure to be on board.
Well, we are so glad to hear. You know, I you came to one of our meetings in Palm Springs. It was such a pleasure to have you there. And what you're putting together is really something. This is it's a business-to-business expo. You know, one of the things I'm going to say right up front to everybody here, you know, it's you know, most of these, you know, there's these expos with bringing businesses in and all this kind of stuff. They've been like popping up like wildflowers in spring, I swear. But they're all so expensive. They're like $300, $400, $500 to come to it. And yours is the what you have there is as good as any as I've seen, and it's only $50. You're cheap.
Oh, well, we like to say we're relatively a great business, and we've got a good model, so we want to bring the information out. So it's not about that price. It's more about the opportunity. So let's get the info out there.
Well, you're making it affordable for people to get this info. But listen, before we talk about what's going to be taking place at the State of Cannabis at the Los Angeles County Expo Center on April 13th, let's talk a little bit about you. Luis, what made you get involved in cannabis? It's certainly not. I mean, have you been involved in it since a child? I mean, how did you get involved in it?
Well, maybe I was involved in other ways, but we will leave that for another show, perhaps. No, as a child, my younger days, but definitely in my professional life here, it's been an interesting transition because this time last month, I was in Mayor Eric Garcetti's office here in Los Angeles doing community business in our economic development. And previously I was his South LA representative. So definitely an extreme in terms of shifts in a business model, if you will. But to that point, really Collective Strategies was founded to really provide and take advantage of social, economic, and workforce opportunities throughout different sectors, particularly here in cannabis, right? There's definitely a lot of opportunities. So that's really why we wanted to make sure we got started in this work. Also, we're a licensed cannabis event organizer with the state of California, which means we can provide both consumption and sales events throughout the state with local authority, which is one of the things we're still, a lot of people are still dealing with the whole license.
You said you're a licensed cannabis exhibitor. Tell us how does a person become a licensed cannabis exhibitor? If I wanted to do that, what do you have to do?
Yeah, well, but you just go through the licensing process. So, it sounds cool, right? Licensed cannabis event organizer. So you're a CEO per se automatically there. and on that sense, with the state, they really wanted to kind of streamline these opportunities and these events, meaning that, we're screened through the state. We have our background check. We've done all our business compliance and licensing. And when you do these events, first you have to get the state license. clearance, and then you have to also get local authority before you're able to throw an event.
Will the state give you a license before you have a local license? Or do you have to get a local license first before you can get a state license?
In the sense of, in this sense, specifically to event organizer license, you get the state approval first, and then you'll get the local authority, which is a little backwards from the other approvals where you need the local, then state.
Do they charge you an arm and a leg to get the license from the state?
You know, they try to make as much, but, you know, they get theirs on the front end and back end with some of the, you know, proposed taxes and some of the stuff they're going to, you know, require us to pay. So they do charge an upfront fee depending on how much application fee, right, for them to do their job. Apparently we need to pay that. But two is that then it's the actual license fee. Once you're approved for that, and then that's depending on whether you're going to throw a certain amount of events, you'll be able to it depends. That's kind of a sliding scale. And then at the back end, like I said, you're also working with a distributor. Well, per event, you're going to have to apply as well through the local authority to have at event. So that's also where you'll need to apply.
Why did you now? You know, there's so many different things you can do in the cannabis industry. You can be a cultivator, you can be a manufacturer, you can be a retailer, you can be a distributor, you can be a tester. Why did you choose your avenue to get involved in the cannabis business to be as a P.T. Barnum?
Yes.
Put on an exposition.
There you go. I like the circus, so I might as well throw it and enjoy the, make some money and eat the popcorn, right? No, on a serious note, you know, I think that the I do have, a niche with a lot of events. I worked a lot in the mayor's office hosting large-scale business events as well as the state of the city and inaugurations and things like that. So I want to have a real niche and a passion for putting together events. But I also think that, this is a way for us to promote the responsible advancement of the legal cannabis economy, the marketplace, and working with the industries, the small business, the local municipalities, and the authorities to coordinate these professional business consumption and consumer expos, policy conferences, festivals, community events, you know, the whole gamut, but really making sure that we can, one, A, do it professionally, but two, really use it as a tool to destigmatize and show the opportunities, both commerce and just, you know, people just hanging out, so to speak, of what cannabis can do for communities.
And are you come to something of a showman? Do you kind of you put on a great show?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, you know, one thing that's great. You know, definitely one thing, you know, I would like to say, I don't like to waste people's time. I like to think, you know, we're producers here and trying to make sure that this event is going to be thoughtful and well-planned so people really get the best. So, yes, definitely, we're going to spare people of the bells and whistles and the fireworks and all that this time, but maybe we'll use that for the next one. So, but they'll definitely have a great show.
The greatest cannabis show on earth. Hey, listen, before we get to talking about this great cannabis show you're going to be putting on, let's talk to Adriana for a moment. Adriana, thank you for joining us today on the show.
Thank you for the invitation, Lonnie. Great to be here.
And the first thing I've got to ask you guys, if you heard during the introduction, you are a Gates Millennium Scholarship recipient. What is that?
Well, that is the first time Melinda and Bill Gates decided to provide funding for full scholarships for high school students, and it was 100 throughout the nation. I was one of those 100, so I am the first generation Gates Millennium Scholar.
Wow. So you and what high school did you go to?
I actually went to James Monroe High School here in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay, I know James Monroe. I graduated from Los Angeles High School, so I remember James Monroe High School. I think we played you football games probably. So did you ever get to meet Bill and Linda Gates?
I did not. We've for the ceremony, they flew 100 students out to Santa Monica. We met at a hotel. We had dinner with representatives from their foundation, but I did not get to meet them, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right. You know, you used to be able
to
say, hey.
That was very nice, actually, now that I think about it. Thank you, Laddie.
Yeah. Well, it's always interesting to have met a former richest person in the world. He's not the richest anymore. Bezos has replaced him as the richest, but he's up there in the top five, I guess, or something. And it all started in a garage. Anyway, and you went to UCLA, graduated with a bachelor's of science degree. So political science, how did you go from political science into cannabis? What made you want to transition into the world of cannabis with your political science degree?
I'm recently new to the cannabis industry. I am what I've been doing for the past 20 years after I graduated, I've been involved in with the small businesses and entrepreneurs here in the San Fernando Valley in the business development area. So I help them create a business plan develop an organization so that they can then take off and run a business. So I make sure they have create departments throughout their companies. I make sure they have the licenses, the permits that they need, and they make sure that I go over the lease with them so I can let them then take over and run with it. So I've been doing business development for the past 20 years.
I was going to say, why did you decide to go business development into the cannabis industry?
Well, 3 years ago, my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and I was then introduced to cannabis for the first time. I understood that there was a need for information. I lacked the right information, the proper information to be able to make the right decisions in terms of my father's health. I decided to do some research, and thankfully, we found that that was a great option for him. So I decided to co-found Social Equity LA, which is a platform, an online platform, and in-person platform that provides free, accurate, and timely information in terms of cannabis legislation, the enforcement, and the economic opportunities around it.
Yes, and that's one of the things that really caught my eye, social equity, because that's one of the You know, I've been working on the marijuana thing since 1995, and I've always been very much aware of how racially enforced the marijuana and the drug laws have been. And the idea of social equity, we're bringing these people into the way they pass these laws, they say, oh, it's your next felon, all this kind of stuff, you can't get into it, which is going to exclude a lot of these people. And so social equity has been very much important to me in seeing that these people, especially communities of color and minorities, are be able to get into this industry. So tell us about this thing you found, Social Equity LA. What is that all about?
So Social Equity LA is a platform where we believe in creating opportunities for those who are interested in entering into the cannabis industry, but also they're prepared to do so. So we provide education, we provide resume building, we provide coaching, so that if they do decide to do it through either licensing and ownership or through workforce, they decide that they want to be part of this, not as an owner, but rather as an employee or type of management position, we can then provide that information to them and they know exactly what to do once they enter. Sometimes it's just about transferring skill sets. They're very good at what they do. They have gifts that they can just transfer into the cannabis industry. And so we provide that platform, where we provide that coaching, that one-on-one help, assistance, and that's what social equity like. My passion, just to be clear, my passion is the female empowerment. I want to make sure that women have the opportunity of coming into this industry, and we pave the way for future generations so that we know that this is an industry that is safe to be in. If the stigma hopefully will be getting rid of soon through education, and that's one of the biggest things for us. I think the numbers in terms of what the female involvement has been right now, to me, is a bit disappointing. So I would love to be part of that movement.
Well, that really hits the nail on the head for me, because I've always complained that this has been a male, practically a white male dominated movement, and we need more women involved in it. And we have to do a special outreach. Why would if a woman? Why would you encourage a woman said? To get involved in? Why in particular should women get involved in the cannabis industry?
I can think of many, but one of them is we are the healers. So one of the things that I think about is women, we are part of the health industry. We are those who can move, the shakers and movers of a family, I would say. So I think if we can educate the women, we can educate the moms, the mothers, we can educate the sisters, we will be able to then get rid of the stigma of what cannabis can do for a whole, as a whole for society. I am very, very happy about recreational use, and that's one of the many things. But I also believe that there's more to it. I think the research will then show what the benefits, the medical benefits of this plant really are. And I think that's part of the reasons I think women should be educated and totally part of this industry as we move forward.
Absolutely correct. You know, we're all very excited about the adult use that's now becoming legal. That's going to end a lot of this criminality, this kind of stuff. But the medical and health benefits of cannabis, right? You're absolutely right. There are paramount, and this is, you know, women are healers, like you said. They come naturally to health and benefits of anything. But I always like to point out, though, is that, you know, we always talk about we need more research and this kind of stuff, and I always say, well, you know, cannabis has been back in 3000 BC, Chinese physicians wrote about using cannabis as medicine for treating actually women's problems like menopause and menstrual cramps, for pain and for absent-mindedness and stuff. I'm not sure how much more research we need on it when we've been using it for, 5,000 years as a medicine, yeah, and a health aid. So But learning how it works, though, is really important. Why does cannabis work so well within our endocannabinoid system producing it? Well, listen, take a little few-minute break here now to get into some announcements, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the State of Cannabis Expo that you're going to be holding in Los Angeles. Okay, so stick around. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes, and we're going to talk all about this wonderful expo that's going to take place at the Los Angeles Convention Center on Saturday, April 13th. You want to learn all about it because you won't want to miss it.
Oh, yeah. We got a special announcement for you as well. So, great.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to talk about a little couple things here. One of the things I do want to talk about, of course, is our I don't know if you want to call them our one sponsor of our show, but of course that is the 420, Higher Power 420. That's right. So you say, what is Higher Power 420? Well, Higher Power 420 is a gorgeous and mind-boggling limited edition print depicting everyone's favorite deities in a joyous 420 celebration. Conceived and designed by Lanny Swerbo, that's me, and artistically rendered by Shane Master Creation Hibbets, Higher 4 Power 420 is an engaging, thought-provoking, and satiric look at the foibles of religion and the role marijuana can play in today's polarized and estranged world. Now, how does it do that? Well, with all the violent, it's a beautiful art print. And what it does is depicts the gathering of the iconic religious figures of today, enjoying each other's company and sharing cannabis. Higher Power 420 depicts these favors are your favorite deities in a joyous 420 celebration as they escape from their adherents' incessant squabbles as they relax and enjoy each other's company while sharing their common, albeit supernatural, humanity. Only cannabis could allow them to kick back with each other as well as help them overlook and forget about all the problems relating to competing claims of theistic dominance. Higher Power 420, like I said, is a limited edition iconograph. Each 16-inch by 20-inch art print is signed and numbered by the artist and comes with a certificate of authenticity. Be the first to have one adorn the wall of your home or office. Sure to be a conversation starter in any situation. Also makes the perfect gift for your sophisticated cannabis connoisseur friends who are also into the arts. The cost, only $24.20, and that includes all shipping and handling charges. To see this thought-provoking and iconoclastic print and to order your personal copy of a signed and numbered limited edition print of Higher Power 420, go to www.higherpower420, that's 420, don't spell out 420, higherpower420.com. Okay, thank you very much. Check it out. Even if you don't buy one, I think you'll get a hoot when you get to take a look at it on the screen of your firm. Now, once again, I would like to mention, as I had before, that that you can subscribe to my newsletter. It's absolutely free, no cost whatsoever. Just go to marijuananews.org. And on the masthead, click on letterhead, fill in the information, and you will start receiving the newsletter in your email box. If you want to get an example of what they are, you can just go to marijuananews.org/blog, and all the newsletters from the past couple of years are there for you to read and enjoy, I would hope. Okay. One thing I want to mention is another little organization I'm with, which is not becoming a much bigger organization. That's the Brownie Mary Democrats of California. We are one of only seven statewide Democratic organizations are actually chartered by the California Democratic Party. We are part of the party, and we've participated in the party for the last 5 years and doing everything from getting them to adopt a plank in the party's platform and supporting the legalization of marijuana to resolutions decrying the IRS Section 280 and also decrying one interesting thing we introduced a resolution calling for an end to hospitals denying organ transplants to medical marijuana patients. That was a very common procedure. If you used marijuana, you could not get an organ transplant. We passed a resolution at the Democratic Party meetings, and the following year, legislation was introduced to ban hospitals from denying transplants to medical marijuana patients. That's now the law. So we actually do have an effect. You want to learn a little more about Brownie Mary Democrats? Just go to browniemarydemocrats.org, Brownie Mary Democrats.org, and you can find all kinds of information about Brownie Mary Democrats. Okay, so much for the announcements. We're now going to go back to Louis and Adriana, and we're going to talk about the State of Cannabis, the 2019 legislative update and B2B Expo that's going to take place at the Los Angeles Convention Center, not some little dinky, smoky place, the L.A. Convention Center, on Saturday, April 13th. Hey, okay, so, Louis, tell us about this wonderful thing you're going to be holding on the 13th.
Well, as you know, and we all know, the legal cannabis industry is expected to reach $146 billion by 2025. And, you know, what's important is for individuals to build their network so they can maximize their net worth, if you will. And that's really why we wanted to put this event together. One is to have it in a very professional setting, as you mentioned, the Los Angeles Convention Center. But starting from the top, you know, myself, Collective Strategies, Adriana, Social Equity LA, and our partners, event partners, the California Cannabis Coalition, Dope Magazine, and Ease have gotten together to put together this inaugural State of Cannabis 2019 Legislative Update and B2B Expo, really getting people together to learn about the current cannabis legislation, the marketplaces we talked about, and to gain expertise from one another across the supply chain, you know, creating that space that, wasn't needed because it was an illegal market, never needing to kind of get in touch with the legislators and be at their ears and kind of show how legislation can help, or inhibit the marketplace, which it has done for the most part. On that note, just going along here is, you know, we're expecting about 400 or 500 individuals, a lot of licensed individuals throughout the state.
Now, when you say you're expecting, are these going to be exhibit booths and stuff that people are going to be staffing where you can go from one booth to another and talk to them and pick up materials and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a kind of the two-part event, if you will, that's going to be going on concurrently. We're going to have the legislative updates and the B2B sessions, which we'll cover in a little bit. But we'll also have an adjacent booth room that will have the exhibit booth, some kind of light refreshments and drinks, and definitely giveaways. Not the kind we always were legal, so to clarify that, I didn't see the little, you know, collateral materials from the different vendors and brands that will be there, will be on site to talk about, you know, those brands and that are already out there, but also more so the business aspect is really what we want to provide As I mentioned, this event is really about that business-to-business experience, something that people are also missing, if you will, on the boat. I like to think I have a little bit of that vision, in the sense of a lot of people are on the front end trying to go through these processes or barely starting, but they're not aware of the different business dynamics that they need to carry out as a professional industry, as a business working. Yes.
So if you're thinking of going into the cannabis business, this is a really good event because you can actually talk to people in the business while you're there, going from table to table and finding how they got involved and what kind of things you can do and all that kind of stuff. You get some real firsthand information.
Oh, that's the only way. I mean, I've been to trade shows. We've all wasted our time or been forced to go for work, to these shows. And at the end of the day, the ones that I know are impactful are the ones that I can talk to people that can give me some real practical knowledge. So, talk to the direct legislators and making sure that, like I said, these they get that experience from one another. So, definitely, that's the big key in this, and that's what we've structured the different partners there, as well as the different sessions.
Well, when I've gone to these trade shows, it's so much. It's really a lot of, besides being educational and informative, it's just a lot of fun to go from one table to another and just talk to these people and pick up the literature and the information they're giving out. It's a wonderful way to spend the day, or a couple of days actually.
yeah, we want to make this, it's a packed, jam-packed day, but we definitely look at as we move forward to turning this into a couple of day, a multiple day event, including, providing product on site for them to sell, and have a true B2B expo once we are able to find venues and local authorities. We mentioned working with some of them to do that, but
you won't be able to buy products. You won't be able to buy products at this expo, will you?
Just to clarify, yes, this is just more about the business, the supply chain, some of the brands, but them all kind of talking, sharing the information, working with legislators, and they're kind of sharing the trades and having them booths out there, so you can build your own kind of network. On that note, kind of going over the program a little bit, and just if you will, with ease. Is one of our main sponsors. And, one of the things we were all talking about earlier was about the need for social equity and really us being able to, one, show the diversity and bring in more people in, but also I think in terms of the stigma and the negative effects of what the war on drugs really did to what people consider a user, right? They're either the quote-unquote pothead, stoner, or XYZ, type of a stereotype you get, whereas, the consumers have never been just that, A, and two, now that we actually have data with the legal market and some of these companies being able to gather some consumer data, they have a wonderful report called the Eats Insight Report they put out annually, and they'll be on hand to provide some updates and kind of highlights from that report as a kind of keynote, and then going into the different sessions from A, starting with the legislative updates, where we'll have some of the different departments on site and representatives from our government officials themselves to talk on a high level of the different updates from the legislative perspective for the state and federal. Kind of talking about the banking from the state and federal perspective, the new hemp laws, and some of the social equity program from the broader level from the state, trying to get some more things done. Then we'll go straight into the compliance, which is another session that I think is really the key session from what we're hearing. Everyone is trying to get into the industry, but don't know where it's at. The regulation is changing. It's harder to keep up than some of Trump's tweets, some of these legislations. So you really got to be aware of it, what's going on now. So we're going to have a first panel on licensing, compliance, and enforcement, talking about what the city and state are doing for current and future regulations, as well as enforcement and compliance tools. I don't know in your area, Delaney, but here in Los Angeles, enforcement is a big issue.
Oh, it's a big issue anywhere, everywhere. this was really interesting. This morning session really sounds like if you want to get into the business, you're going to get some really, really good information to get you started.
Oh, yes. And even to round up the morning session is the legal, tax, banking, and accounting, where we'll talk more about the numbers and the kind of the nuances around insurance and banking and 280E. So that will be something, and that kind of wraps up the morning, which I think, to your point, is really the more legislative, the business really development information that is really critical, licensing and stuff like that. The second part of the day, though, I think is actually what I'm most excited about, beginning with our medicinal wellness and holistic panel, which if I would break the news here, is that Lanny yourself will be here. Our key moderator for that panel, so we're very excited to and thank you for your support in that panel.
My pleasure.
Yes, and you know that's going to talk about the latest sciences, the breakthroughs, the biotechnologies, talking about this health and lifestyle as well, just kind of the mindful benefits of what cannabis is, a lot of what you and Adriana were discussing earlier around the academic and the research. So that's a great one, and you'll be leading that with some great partners from Orange County NORM, the National Organization for Reform on Marijuana Laws. I believe we have some other people from Rebellion is also going to be there. So a couple great panel on that one, including Lanny. And then just wrapping up the last two panels is the social justice, culture, economic, and workforce opportunities. You know, as we talked about, that's a big key in really making sure everyone's aware of what are the efforts to right the war on drugs and some of what the culture of cannabis is now and what it's created, you know, the war on drugs and the stigma, but more so the business and career opportunities as an industry, including the ancillary services that are, you know, going to be needed. And then wrapping up with the investment, innovation, and tech panel, and that's kind of, you know, the cool gadgets and investment ways and these different funds and as well as the apps and different compliance solutions that they're using to track every process from seed to sale or testing. You know, there's so much innovation in this industry. So that's kind of the day, which is a lot, as we mentioned. It's a great day, I think a thorough day that you'll really appreciate the amount of information you get and the resources. So we're excited, and I'm glad you're going to be there. So we hope most of your audience, if not all, will be there as well joining us that day.
Well, I certainly am looking forward to being there. Adriana, tell me, how would minorities and women especially benefit from attending the conference, the expo?
I think it's mostly about the networking. Once you attend the event, you'll get to see everything that entails being part of this industry, not only as an owner, but also as providing other types of services throughout the industry. It's also about having that access, diversity, and inclusion portion of this in the event. We want to make sure that we represent what the real-life cannabis industry will look like soon, which is about 50% of the population. We as women, we represent 50 to 51% of the population. I'd love to see them, show up and make sure that we all get to know each other and support each other.
Oh, absolutely true. I really hope that I really hope that more women will get involved in this business. You know, women have always been, you know, kind of not allowed to get into businesses. We have to do some affirmative action here to get more women involved in the marijuana industry. It's going to be, like Lewis said, it's going to be a huge industry. It's always been huge. It's just going to get even bigger as it becomes more mainstream and more, and hopefully, and I really believe that as it becomes more mainstream and more businesses open up, more and more people are going to be using cannabis, and we need, and that's a good thing. The more cannabis is used in our communities, the healthier and safer our communities will be, especially on the recreational side of it, where I have always seen cannabis as a safe and an effective alternative to alcohol for socialization and fraternization and celebration and all that kind of stuff. So I hope we talk about the medical and health benefits, and sometimes I kind of feel like they kind of put down, you know, the recreational. Yet, will your expo be doing any kind of highlighting of the adult use benefits for cannabis for the industry that's not catering to the medical but is catering to the adult use side of the industry?
Somewhat, yeah. You know, definitely want to make sure people see that as an alternative to drugs, to the pharmaceutical, and any other type of way. It's definitely something we can, you know, better promote amongst that consumption.
Right. One of the panels actually talks about the culture of cannabis, and I think part of that will address the recreational side of it. I think knowledge is power. The more you know about it, the easier it is for everybody to use it safely, to make sure that, you know, it is a safer way to deal with many of the daily things that humans go through, stress, and, you know, we always come home and pick up a glass of wine. It is safe to use that cannabis as part of our daily routine. So I think the more we know, the more we learn, and the more we share, then the more we'll be able to provide that to the rest of the population.
Yeah. And when four guys are going to a bar and they get drunk, you know, they might end up fighting. But four guys go and have some, you know, have some cannabis, they might start a band or something. You know, that's we're it's a peaceful drug. You know what I mean? I mean, that's
well, you know,
we know. So,
I like your analogy there. When I make my presentations, one of the things I quite often will talk about, I'll talk about how when the old man comes home from work all stressed out and tired and has a few beers, he winds up beating up the old lady. When the old man comes home tired of work and all stressed out and he smokes a couple joints, he makes love to the old lady. That's
there
different.
You go. Hey, it's a mutual benefit.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, we're going to have to wind things up in a little bit, but can you give us some more information about where the exhibit is, what its cost is going to be, and the times and all
yes.
that kind of stuff, and where they can go get more information on the Internet about it?
Yes, definitely. Perfect. So the event is going to be at the L.A. Convention Center, 1201 South Figueroa Street in the heart of downtown Los Angeles, on Saturday, April 13th from 10 to 4 p.m., in the South Hall Concourse Meeting Room. You can get information on the State of Cannabis or stateofcannabis.com, so www.stateofcannabis.com, and you can get tickets online. Also, just to be clear, the pre-sale tickets are valid until 4/1, and those are $50. After that, they will be $80 general admission, including at the door. This is a non-consumption event, and on that note, just wanted to give a special announcement here that we are going to create, especially for you and your listeners, a special promo code. All they have to do to receive 20% off, for a 20% discount, they just need to enter LANY, L-A-N-N-Y, the promo code, and they will receive a 20% off, courtesy of you and the great work you're doing.
Well, that makes it like that makes it like $30.
Yeah, yeah. So
50 times 0.8 is makes it $40.
30%
off.
Yeah, then about 60 or so with the once it goes up to general. So if they get it before April 1st, definitely don't be fooled. It will go up after that because it is a great event, and obviously, you know, the value is great. So. I want to get as many people out there.
We'll see how many of my listeners or readers will respond.
Okay, something they can forget, promo code LANY.
There you go. That sounds great. Say, my name's spelled L-A-N-N-Y, if you didn't know it. So you're going to be there, I imagine, so people can actually come and meet and talk with you at the event if they come on down there.
Yes, we, Adriana and I.
We will be the first one there and the last to leave, LANY.
I bet you'll be
you
there.
That.
You'll be there. So, real quickly, you said the main event sponsor is Eaze, E-A-Z-E. Who is Eaze?
So Ease is an online delivery platform that does the, well, not online, but they do delivery throughout different counties and cities, and a great partner, as I mentioned, they're all about promoting the legal cannabis industry and the legal adult use. So they are a partner of ours that are really just trying to help, you know, provide more access to the industry.
Okay, yeah, I've seen the name around. That's what they are. Okay, and of course, you see your media sponsor is Dope Magazine, which is owned by High Times Magazine now. I just went out to their big cannabis festival up in Adelanto this weekend. It was a lot of fun. It was the first cannabis event sponsored in Adelanto where they allowed cannabis consumption. It was a lot of fun. It went very well.
Yeah, you know what? Dope is our sponsor, and that's pretty dope, I guess, to use the pun. And then High Times did buy him out. And, you know, I love the Dave Tran, the founder of Dope, and his motto. And it was all about just promoting the culture, promoting the giving it a different spin than what High Times at the time was really just focused on, more kind of the stoner type of mentality. But definitely transitioned into this, and now they're partners. And we were there this weekend, and you know, one of the things we were maybe a little surprised to also see, but I think validated that it's just another event, nothing, you know, to be worried about. There was no smoke up in the air, and, you know, half the everyone in clouds or nothing like that. A great event, good atmosphere, a great marketplace with the different booths out there. So, yeah, we're excited to transition ourselves into doing some more, or to doing that, now that Adelanto has kind of paved the way and been the first one to allow these events outside of the county fairgrounds with the passage of AB 2020. So as other cities come on board, and as we're kind of lining up a few, including Palm Springs, which that's how we met, you know, we definitely want to do some more of these events and have more of the consumption and sales as well, promoting the B2B platform.
Well, you know, it's the consumption at these events is really, you know, it's fun. You know, we have the wine festivals and the beer festivals, and people are there sampling the wines and sampling the beers. And doing that with cannabis would be even more fun than with wine and beer, and that's why these events are so wonderful. You get a chance to meet all the cultivators and distributors and this kind of stuff, and you get to talk to them about it. You learn an awful lot about the workings of the cannabis industry. It's fascinating, and you do get lots of samples. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I want to thank the two of you for coming on the show today. I am looking very much forward. Once again, it's going to be the State of Cannabis 2019 Legislative Update and B2B Expo. It's going to take place on April 13th, that's Saturday, April 13th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the L.A. Convention Center in the South Hall. And the convention center is at 1201 Figueroa Street. If you go online now, what's the website that they go online to get tickets?
stateofcannabis.com, or they can go on Eventbrite. Either way, they can just go to the link where it says buy tickets. They can pay at the website using PayPal, credit card, or the bank transfer. And as well as going on Eventbrite, for those of you that may be aware of that online ticketing platform, Event and B-R-I-T-E, all one word, is their platform. And then ours is C-A-N-N-A-B-I-Z, is the way you spell cannabis, but State of Cannabis. So S-T-A-T-E-O-E-F C-A-N-N-I-B-I-Z.com.
Okay, and enter Lanny, L-A-N-N-Y, in the promo code and get 30% off. The low already 20% off. Sorry, get 20% off.
Yeah.
The already low ticket price was just $50.
Yeah,
that is really low, because
I
know most of these places
the
charge $300-$400.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying we got to get the lights on, so we want to make sure, we'll give it 20%, but definitely to the point. Great price.
Okay.
Great value for your dollar, easily worth five times your ticket value. We just came from up north, paid $250, and don't think that what we're doing is any different, if not better. So
You heard it from me, but
got it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you on the 13th, and we're going to have a great event, and it's going to be an honor and a pleasure to be there with you.
Okay, great. See you at the State of Cannabis.
Thank you, Nanny.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. That was Luis Rivera and Adriana Gomez, who are putting on the State of Cannabis 2009 Legislative Update and B2B Expo, April 13th, Saturday, April 13th, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Los Angeles Convention Center. You can get tickets at State of Cannabis, that's B-I-Z, cannabis.com, and if you put my name in the promo code Lanny, L-A-N-N-Y, you get 20% off the price. Like I said, they're only charging $50 to begin with if you get in. And you know, these conferences, I've seen them. $250, $350, $400 is not uncommon for one of these B2B conferences. So if you've been thinking of getting into the cannabis business, this is going to be an excellent opportunity. They've got great speakers, great sessions where you can learn about everything, and you can meet close to 500 different businesses where you can learn about what they're doing and how you can get involved as well. Well, listen, hey, that wraps up the show for tonight, or today, depending on when you're listening to it. I want to thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can subscribe to my newsletter. Go to marijuananews.org, and in the newsletter head, in the masthead, click on newsletter. Learn more about Brownie Mary Democrats. Go to browniemarydemocrats.org. And, hey, tell your friends about Marijuana Compassion Common Sense, because we are the show that tells you the truth about marijuana, the politics behind its prohibition, the legendary facts about its health and medical benefits, and tries to clear up all that legal mumbo-jumbo that makes it so difficult and nearly impossible for you to avail yourself of this ancient medicinal herb. Compassion and Common Sense, the show that tells you the truth about marijuana, reveals the politics behind its prohibition, and gives you the legendary information about its legendary health and medical benefits, and tries to clear up all that legal mumbo-jumbo that makes it so difficult, sometimes so dangerous, and nearly impossible to avail yourself of this ancient medicinal herb. Well, welcome to tonight's podcast of Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense. My name is Lanny Swerdlow, registered nurse, legal nurse consultant, and all-around bon vivant, right?